Blog Talk Radio.
WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon-coming King awaits. Today, Dr. June Knight, coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee. Yay! I am so happy to honor a country gospel music artist today. Please give up for Mr. Lefty Brown. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Dr. June?
Doing good. And by the way, Brad, he is in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm going to read his bio so you can get to know him a little bit before we hear from him. Matthew Lefty Brown was born on July 23, 1962, in the small North Texas town of Knox City. His hometown is Benjamin, Texas, a tiny cow town 12 miles north of Knox City, just across the Brazos River. This is Bob Wills country and is located near the infamous 6666 Ranch. So naturally, Lefty and his musical family were heavily influenced by country music and the father of Western swing, Bob Wills, and the Texas Playboys. From an early age, Lefty's mom, Rose, took him and his family to church every Sunday, where he learned to express his love for God and others through singing gospel music. But it wasn't until Lefty moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee in 1987 did he start singing and playing country music and writing country songs. Lefty first started playing with the Country Pride Band in Ringo, Georgia as a featured vocalist. In 1990, he formed his own band, Heading West, and played honky-tonk country and swing-style music from small to large venues in the tri-state area of Chattanooga. Throughout the 90s, Lefty wrote and recorded demo songs and shopped them around 16th Avenue in Nashville with little success. But the experience was invaluable to him in developing his vocal and songwriting style. His musical influences are from renowned artists such as Merle Haggard, Hank Williams, Tommy Duncan, George Strait, and Bill Gaither. In the year 2000, Lefty made the most important change of his life by rededicating his life to Christ. In 2002, at the age of 39, Lefty left the country music scene and moved to Memphis, where he entered a Christian seminary. While there, and after earning his bachelor's degree at Southern Christian University in Montgomery, Alabama, Lefty preached the gospel a few years only to leave the pulpit for writing music again, this time gospel music. In 2007, Lefty moved back to Chattanooga, where he met the love of his life, Bobby G. Today, Lefty sings at church regularly and from time to time performs at local events, but his focus now in life is serving God through writing gospel songs and spreading the message of Christ to the world through his music. Now at 54, Lefty is releasing his first album ever, My Heavenly Home. And yes, it's an all-original, cowboy-style gospel music collection. You can hear Lefty's inspiration from The Hag in his patriotic tunes, God, Guns, and Glory, and One Nation Under God. You are sure to feel Lefty's love for God and country in the song Freeland. His toe-tapping Texas swing style reveals itself in He Came From Heaven, Is Christ Your King, and I'm On the Road Now. The impact of gospel music on Lefty is naturally shown in Are You Ready and You Light Up My Pathway. There is no title cut on Lefty's album, but the songs My Celestial Home and What's It Gonna Be Like was the drive for the name. Other songs like The Keeper of My Soul, Time Is Moving On, and Why You, O Lord, reveal a pop influence in his songwriting style. Lefty said, I believe this is an album with a positive and inspirational message to this nation and the world of God's great love for us by giving us His greatest gift of all, His Son and the world's Savior, Jesus Christ. It is my hope that the lyrics and melodies of this album are instrumental in leading the lost to the cleansing blood of the Lamb of God. Wow, that is amazing, Lefty.
Well, I appreciate that, and it's been a pretty good experience over the last year putting the album together. I had about four songs off the album that I had written, a couple of them back in the 90s, and then a couple of them back when I was in seminary. And then when I come out, and I decided to, I was going to do some more demo work with Micron Studios in South Pittsburgh where I record. And I got in there with the first session with three songs, and Mike Hedrick, who's my producer and also the engineer on the album, he said, hey, we need to go ahead and try to do an album on this. And I wasn't really prepared to do an album. I said, well, I don't have really that many more gospel songs written. And he told me to get to writing the songs, and it took me about a year, but I finished the album up with 15 songs.
And what? So wrote all those songs?
Yes, ma'am. The 11 I wrote in the last year. And I've got I'm working on about three more songs. I got one completed, and I'm working about three more songs, patriotic gospel songs, and also a couple more gospel songs that I've written, and I'm getting ready for the next project. And hopefully, if I can get enough revenue off this first album, that'll give me the funds to be able to go back in and record a second album. And
so amazing. Now listen, we're going to play one of your songs. Which one would you prefer that they hear first? I'm going to let you choose.
Okay. One that's probably that's, I'd say it's more personal to me would be the second song off the album, I'm Done with the Devil, and it's featuring Jackie Harling, who also has sang with the Gaithers, and her husband, Keith Harling, was on the MCA Records back in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah.
And she's a wonderful person, a wonderful lead singer, and she grew up in a gospel family who, the Newtons, who were a real popular gospel group back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And her dad sang with the Oak Ridge Boys. He's one of the first singers with the Oak Ridge Boys.
Oh.
And she is just really good on here. If you'll play that second song off there, I'm Done with the Devil, it's got her.
I've been running with the devil most all my days, in spite of mama warning and begging me to stay. On the ride, rode with Jesus, she said, I trust and obey. Oh, made me drink a living water from the hill of Calvary and wash away my sins in the fountain flowing free. Lord, I'm done with the devil and his dirty deeds. Where you go, I will follow. Jesus, take the lead. Guide me through greener pastures to the shores of Galilee, where I hear Mama praying for the boy from Tennessee.
God, turn him from the devil and his dirty deeds. Lord, turn him from the devil and his dirty deeds.
Oh, Lord, please forgive me. I'm on my knees. Let me drink water from the hill of Calvary and wash away my sins in the fountain flowing free. Lord, I'm done with the devil and his dirty deeds. I can hear Mama praying for the boy from Tennessee.
Okay, now Lefty, I know it said that you was born in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
ma'am. Now, was your family Christians? Like, did you have a big family or what?
Yes, we had. There was five of us, and my mom and dad. My dad was a religious person, but he didn't go to church very much. So my mom started taking us, you know, pretty early, and my dad would go with us every now and then. But he was a good father. He provided for us, and my mom was really the backbone of the family. She was a very Christian lady who studied her Bible every day, and she instilled in us that, you know, we needed to serve God in our lives. You know, and I kind of, when I got in my 20s, I got off and started going into the world, and she always encouraged me to come back to, you know, to Christ and start going to church again. And and I finally did that after I got out of the honky tonks.
Yeah.
So she was really Rose Brown was really the backbone of our family, and I missed her so much. We lost her in 2010, but she's in a lot better place now. She's in paradise with Jesus right now. And I'm just really grateful for her.
Yeah.
She was the inspiration for that song there.
And who was that again?
My mother, Rose Brown.
I just lost my mother, too. I understand.
Yeah, she was. I miss her, but I know she's in a lot better place. And I just, it's my goal in this life is to get to see her again in paradise.
Yes. Amen. Now, when you said that you came to Chattanooga and that's where you discovered that you wanted to use your talents for the Lord, can you explain what a real hard, or even if it was a hard decision, how was that in the transition?
Well, when I come out here in 87, I started working in this area and started playing, like I said in the bio, with the Country Pride band. And I got married in 93, and then playing the honky tonks in the bars and stuff like that just led to a lot of trouble. and it ended up the marriage ended up in a divorce, and it was a lot of was because of that, and that's when it kind of woke me up, and that's why I kind of had the inspiration for the song "I'm on the Right Road Now," and it's. When you leave Christ and you leave the church and you start going out in the world and even though you know better, you start doing worldly things in your life, it's not going to lead to nothing but negative things in your life and things like divorce and alcoholism and drug abuse and stuff like that comes into people's life. And if you stay in church and you try to serve God every day, and, you know, we're all going to fall, and we're all going to fall off the spiritual wagon, so to speak, from time to time. But the best thing to do is just climb back on and just keep riding with Jesus. And that's one reason I wrote the song, I'm on the Right Way Now. And I'm on the right road. So that gave me the inspiration for that song there.
All right. I don't think I have that one uploaded. I only uploaded about six of them.
Well, that's
I've
fine.
Got God Bless Your Home.
That's a good one too. And then they got they can go on my website and listen to the album for free.
Okay, where is that at?
That's at LeftyBrownMusic.com, and they can find me on Lefty Brown Music on Facebook and then on Twitter and also on Instagram.
Okay. So now, when you talk about your decision of moving over to sing for the Lord, did you go through any ridicule from the country music industry?
No, not much, because I had already gotten out of it when I decided to. I started working for a church in 2000, and then I got a lot of encouragement to go to seminary, and so I went to seminary in June of 2002. So it was while I was in seminary where I really made a change in my life. And then I started writing gospel songs. And there's a couple of the songs on the album I started, I really wanted them to go into a hymnal. And they were in a hymnal style when I wrote them. But when I went into the studio last year, I changed them over, the tempo of them, and changed them up a little bit, made them fit more to a Christian country style of music. But that's where I was in Memphis there, where I wrote a couple of those songs. And, that's basically it. The seminary really changed me. I was back in church, and I was doing what I was supposed to do. But when I got into seminary, it really changed my life. That school was one of the hardest seminaries in the South, and still is today, and it's just so heavy of a workload. The first 2 weeks I was there, I was going to quit, because I didn't think at 40 years old that I was going to be able to do this. I had guys in there that were half my age that I was rooming with, and then they could stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning and playing video games, and I had to stay at 3 o'clock in the morning just to get my memorization down and my research down on my stuff. So the director of the school encouraged me to just hang in there and that it would get better, and he was right. With a lot of prayer and a lot of hard work, I finished the seminary and graduated in 2006. So the song, I think it's My Celestial Home. I wrote that early this year, back probably in January or February when I finished it. And it is a song. It's kind of the inspiration for the album title. And Jackie Harlan's doing the harmony vocals on this too. It also, these guys that are on the album, Tim Atwood, who was a keyboard player for the Grand Ole Opry, their house keyboard player for 38 years. He left them in 2014, and he just cut a Christian album. A Christian country album, and I think he's going to be coming out pretty quick. But Tim Atwood's one of the best piano players I've ever heard. And we brought him in, and we had Ronnie McDowell Jr. on drums, and we had Joe Caverly, who has done all the fiddle work on the album. and he is a super fiddle player. He plays for Tracy Lawrence, who's a country star that most people know. You know, he's popular back in the 90s. He's still touring with Tracy Lawrence now. But I had some really top-notch musicians on this, and Chris Latham was the one that did the mixing of the album and the mastering of it in Nashville, and he's probably one of the best in Nashville. So it turned out really well, and I was really glad that I went through Micron Music and to redo my recording. And I've been recording with Mike since the late 80s. He's a really good guy, really good producer. And I'm on his record label, Chosen Vessel Records. So if you'll play that My Celestial Home, sounds good to me. I love that song.
Okay, well, we'll play it right now. This is Lefty Brown, My Celestial Home.
I'm tired of this world and all of this strife. I've struggled with sin most all my life. Now I lean on Christ, His promise is true of my immortal home. A heavenly mansion is waiting for me, with angels and saints, far as I can see. And praising my God through eternity in my celestial home.
Celestial home, in my celestial home.
Amen.
Yeah, brother, that song is awesome.
Man, I tell you what, that Mike Hedrick on that steel guitar, he's probably one of the best steel guitar players around the Chattanooga area. He is a great producer, great musician, all-around musician. He does all the guitar work on the album.
Yeah.
He is just a super talented guy. And I really appreciate him so much and chosen Vessel Records for, you know, putting me on the label and putting the album out. But I really appreciate him and the whole group of the people that were on the album. They did a fantastic job.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what, it sounds really pretty. Now, let's move on to the nation. I would love to hear your opinion on, I ask Americans when I traveled the nation this year, the entire border, I asked them two questions, and I would love to ask you. The first question is, if you could talk to Americans right now, what would you say to them? Like, what is God doing in our nation?
You know, that's really a hard question, Dr. Gene. But, you know, I know there's a we have a great, I believe, revival that's going on now with the last election cycle. And I believe people are starting to see where we've been heading the last, you know, 30, 40 years. And it's my prayer that they're waking up. But it kind of reminds me of, you remember the story of Jonah and how Nineveh in Assyria, that was the Lord was going to destroy them. But the Lord, you know, wants all men to be saved. He says that in the book of 2 Peter. And he wants us to come to repentance. And that he's not willing that any would be lost, but that all should be saved. But it kind of reminds me of in the time of Jonah. You know, Jonah was a reluctant, or he even disobeyed God and didn't want to go save Nineveh. And we know that, you know, about the fish. Most people think about him being in the belly of the whale and all of that, and that was part of his him running from God, because he didn't want to save Nineveh. But
right.
You know, he reluctantly went, and in the book of Jonah in chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, the 3 days' journey. So we know it was a metropolis. It took somebody 3 days to walk across, or by camel, however they were traveling then. It took them 3 days to get across the city. So we know it was a metropolis at that time.
Yes.
It says, and Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid down his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And
right.
He caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?" In the last verse of that chapter, it said, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And it said, God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did not. In other words, he changed his mind. And I think that's what it's going to take in this country, is that we're going to have to repent of the evil that's in this country for God to turn his wrath upon us. Because if we keep going down the road that we're going, then we're going to be like Nineveh. We're going to be destroyed. And I thank God is long-suffering towards, and he wants us to be saved and turn back to him.
Yes. Now, when you say if we keep going down the same path, what path is that? Because I don't think some people see that.
Well, if we just turn on our TVs and just watch the evening news, we'll see a lot of what's going on in our country now. And if we just turn and watch some of the shows that are in our that are on ABC, CBS, and a lot of these other stations that we're seeing, and you cannot get through any of those shows today. Hardly. There may be one or two on the major networks that are not that bad, but 99% of them are promoting fornication, adultery, homosexuality, drunkenness, drug use, and it's getting in our children's heads that this is the way that it's normal. This is what we should be like. And they're promoting evil and calling it good, and they're calling the good things in this country evil.
Yeah.
And that is just a recipe for disaster for this country. And I believe that every Christian needs to be like Jonah. And we need to cry out to our neighbors and our communities and to our country that we've got to turn away from this, or God will have his wrath upon us. And it may come through another religion, it may come through another government, but I'm just so worried about our government right now. There's so many people in our government that are ungodly people. They may say they're godly on the outside, but they act different when they're in private. And I just really think that we need to be like Jonah. We need to cry out. We don't need to do it reluctantly, but we need to be willing and to cry out to our family and our friends to turn back to God and start going to church again. And start trying to live the Christian life and live by the Christian principles that this country was founded upon, and turn back to God before it's too late.
Well, I think about your song, One Nation Under God. Can you talk to us about what you felt in your heart when you wrote that?
You know, I wrote that song that's one of the songs I wrote back in the mid-90s. I had been outside of Chattanooga, went to this studio to do a demo that I was entering a contest for a Wrangler Roundup contest or something. They had local and then it went state, national. And I went out and recorded a demo, and I was coming back from that studio and I seen a billboard that said One Nation Under God. And what it was I think it was the Churches of Christ that were putting on the a nationwide thing, the big revival for people to come back to being one nation under God. And it had quite a bit of success, what I had read about it. But that billboard struck me. And at that time, I was still in the honky-tonks, and Merle Haggard, I studied a lot of his music, listened to it, and looked at the sheet music on it and how he had it phrased and everything. So I was really kind of copying a lot of his stuff. Had a heavy influence on for Merle Haggard in my songwriting. And that song was written with a Telecaster sound to it, like Haggard's got. And that's what gave me the influence for that song, was One Nation Under God. I got me a melody in my head coming home. I got to my house and started picked up my guitar, and within an hour I had the song wrote. And I went in and recorded a demo on it, and then come back and recorded another demo in 2007 on it. And it was changed a little bit. I originally wrote it in a different time signature. I had it, and then I when I went and did the demo, I did it in 3/4 time. Then when I went back in and did this album, I put it back into the rigor time signature that it's in now. And but that's where that come from. I saw it on a billboard, and I got the idea for it, hummed the melody, got a melody going, got my hook going, and then when I got home, I wrote it on the guitar. And it's a song that I believe is a patriotic country song that I believe is another song that people need to hear. And
it's my prayer
that they will.
Yes, Bride, this is One Nation Under God, Lefty Brand.
Let's pledge allegiance to the flag of our country. Does it not have meaning anymore? But it stands for freedom, so let it ring loudly so people can hear it all over this world. One nation under God, indivisible, proud and free. So let's join together, stand up for the cause.
Of this year, and I think I got back in the studio in April with it, and but it's a song that ever since we had the new president come in, it was kind of the influence of that. And what I see going on in our country, then we got people that are anarchists that are wanting to tear down our heritage, you know, from these Confederate memorials and stuff that we have in our country. And I just see all of that going on, people rioting and burning stuff down. We've seen that over the last year. And
yeah,
it's really upsetting to me to see that on TV, that people are doing that to our country. You know, if we remove our history and all of our monuments, that's the same thing that Hitler did in Germany before, right when he was taking power. He removed all the monuments that were reminding people of what they did in the First World War.
And, I didn't know that.
Yes, they did, and Hitler did the same thing. So if we remove all of our history and our heritage from our society, how is the next generation going to know not to repeat the same mistake that we made when the country split in the Civil War. You know, I believe God put Lincoln in there for a reason, to unite the country and I believe he was a godly man. And I believe that God put him in there for a reason, and that was to heal the nation. And sometimes it does take God, and it does take glory, and it does take guns to solve the problems, because some people are just wanting to tear us down. And it really, really hurts me to see that going on in our country. So that was kind of the inspiration for the song of God, Guns and Glory.
Well, did you know that they're now talking about taking down George Washington? I retweeted. I said, listen, when you want to go after our first president, we're drawing the line here. Come on now. This is just ridiculous.
Right. You might as well take down all the first 10 or 12 presidents, because even though those men that had they'd made mistakes in their life, but they still believed in God, and they believed this country was born brought forth on Christian principles. And once we take the Bibles out of the schools, we take the Ten Commandments out of our courtrooms, and we take all of our statues and memorials down of our past heroes that fought in wars, and then what are we going to learn from them? And it's sad that our children are not even being taught American history in school anymore.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. From when I was in college, I know this. Okay, well, let's play the song. This is Lefty Brown, God, Guns, and Glory.
Idea that we had that in the studio, and it turned out real well.
Yes, it did. Okay, now, Leslie, I'm going to ask you another question.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, if you could talk to the President of the United States, what would you say to him?
Keep doing what you're doing. Keep your promises that you made to the American people. And I think he's doing a lot of it. If he didn't have social media, he wouldn't have any voice right now anyway. Because the only thing that's right. The only thing the liberal media is doing is reporting everything they can negative, and even, you know, reporting false stuff on him. And
yeah.
I would say keep doing what you're doing. Just keep the promises that you made to the American people, because and he's doing a lot of it. I mean, we're already seeing jobs come back. We're seeing immigration cut in half, people coming in illegally. Before his first term is up, they will start laying the foundation for building the wall. Because if we don't protect our borders, then we're not a sovereign nation. And then we just let people come in as they wish, then we're not a sovereign nation. And I don't know of any other countries that do not protect their borders. China protects theirs, you know. India protects their borders. A lot of countries and nations in the world protect their own borders, or they wouldn't be a sovereign nation. And that's why I'm afraid.
Well, I just have to say this, and I want the world to hear this. When the Lord sent me on this mission to travel the entire border of the United States, he told me, he said, I am the one who is having President Trump secure the borders, and he caused me to go into a Bible study, and the Lord showed me that in the Garden of Eden, when they sinned, he kicked them out of the garden, and what did he do? He put a border there. He put an angel, and he kept them from coming in. And then the Lord showed me that when he would have these kings go and take these cities, the first thing he has them do is secure borders. So, hello, it's only God. God is the one wanting law and order. It's the devil that wants lawlessness. There's a two-kingdom war going on right now. And if people can't see it, then they're blind. It's all I can say about it.
That's exactly right. I believe that. Amen to that, Dr. Kuhn.
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't protect our country and our borders, then we're not a country. We're just going to be destroyed. And that's, we cannot have people just coming over our borders illegally like that. They're taking our jobs. They're causing a gang violence out west and in our big cities. And it's just really sad to see that. And all the billions and billions of dollars that we're spending on welfare and free medical services for the illegal aliens that are coming in here is just unbelievable. I seen a thing the other day on TV. It said $10 billion to build a wall, something like $400 billion a year to give to the illegal aliens for welfare and health care. So
y'all, Brian, when I was at the bottom part of Texas, I interviewed countless numbers of people about the wall. I have not done that documentary yet. I will when I have time. That will show the American voices down there themselves, not fake news, but real people, how they feel about that wall. But let me summarize it in real short, just like this. They said used to, and you know, like 20, 30 years ago, it didn't bother them as bad, you know, like the ones that would sneak over, because they knew back then they was very hungry peoples. Like, they did come over here and search for food and water and stuff like that. And a lot of them on the Texas border, on the American side, they would kind of house them and help them a little bit. But now it's gotten dangerous levels because they have the cartel there, and it's very terrible. They come over now, the people that live on the United States side, they'll tear up their houses, they'll break in, they'll steal cars. I mean, it's gotten just way out of control, so they're like, shoot, yeah, build the wall. But the only thing is their hesitancy is that if they build the wall, they'll climb under the wall or something. They'll come in through, you know, they're like, they're not so sure how much that will keep out. And then when I interviewed Mexicans who refused to get behind the camera because of the cartel, I asked them when they was like, y'all Americans should let us come over because you will not work and we will work. And I said, yeah, but can't y'all get work visas? I mean, there's legal ways for y'all to come over. And they was like, yeah, but the only problem is it costs us so much money and we don't have that money. I said, but don't y'all have a border wall down there at the bottom between y'all and Nicaragua and the other countries down there? And they didn't know what to say then. Because Mexico, in case you do not know this, they have a wall. Yes, they do. In the southern part of their country, they have a wall. So whatever the Lord is impressing upon Trump to do, I just pray that that comes to pass and that it will be funded and that he will secure our borders. Amen. All right, Lefty, listen, we are going to pray for you, sir. We ask the bride across the world to partner with us and to pray for all the guests that we have on the broadcast. We believe that they are on the brink of promotion, that God is about to expand their borders, expand their territories. So we're going to speak a blessing over you today and partner together with heaven, with what God wants to do in your life. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Lord. Yes, sir. Lord, the Bible, we come together in agreement, Lord, the bride across the world, I mean. Lord, we come together in agreement for our brother. And, Lord, we just wrap our arms around him, Lord, and we hold up his arms. We thank you, Lord, that he made the right choice to give his giftings to you, Lord, to use for your glory. So, Lord, we pray that you bless him beyond measure with this album, Lord. We pray that it would supernaturally sell. Lord, that you would give him favor with stores and favor with places where to get this album, Lord, and that people will have favor upon him. Lord, we do pray that you expand his borders, expand his ministry, expand his territories of reach, Lord. God, we pray that you expand his mind, that he will not limit you, Lord, that you will give him witty ways on how to sing the gospel and how to minister through his gift in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that you give him intercessors, people that will partner with him in prayer and that they will hear the heart of you, Lord. We pray, God, that he will hear your voice very clearly. We speak clarity in his mind. We pray for his ears and his eyes that he hears and sees clearly, Lord. We pray, God, that the downloads from heaven would come to him, Lord. All the provision that he needs for the vision that you have called him to, Lord, grant it unto him, the provision for the vision. Lord, I pray that you give him equipment, give him technology, whatever it is that he needs to accomplish the mission that you have called him to, Lord, grant it unto him in Jesus' name. Lord, we just speak blessings into his life, blessings into his family, into his wife, blessings into his ministry, Lord, and we thank you and give you praise for how much his mother meant to him, Lord, and the impact that she had on his life, Lord. We thank you for all the things that you did in his life to bring him to where he's at today, Lord. So expand his borders, Lord. Bless him in every way. Heal his body, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, brother, if you don't mind praying for our ministry, we do have the march coming up September 9th, and we have that event tomorrow in Nashville. If you would pray for that and then pray for the bride, we'd appreciate it, sir.
Sure. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything that you've given us. And, Father, we pray for this ministry of Dr. June. And we pray for the Make America Godly Again. Lord, that's what we need. We need to make America godly again. We need to turn from our evil ways and turn back to you as Nineveh did back in Jonah's day. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessings upon Sister June. We pray that she will continue to expand her borders throughout the we'll have to let that train go by.
Yes,
Norfolk Southern, Lord, he's moving it down the rail line there. He's heading north toward you there, June. Lord,
yes.
Appreciate your love for June, and we pray to give her strength to continue to minister to the people across this land, and that we can be healed and we can turn back to you and to your son, and let your precious son and his gospel be spread throughout the land, and we can come back to you as a nation, one nation
yes.
under God. We thank you for everything, Father, that we receive. We thank you for this interview, and that many people will hear it, and they'll go listen to LeftyBrownMusic.com, and they'll listen to the songs, and let those songs strengthen their faith. If they're not a child of God, that will bring them to the cross and to the blood of Jesus. They may be cleansed of your sins and be a child of yours, Father. Father, we thank you for everything for this day. Pray your blessings on this nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, Brian, once again, that's Lefty, L-E-F-T-Y, Brown, B-R-O-W-M, music.com. Go check it out. Okay, we're going to play this commercial. Thank you so much, sir. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. June. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Bride, Mega Revival, Making America Godly Again, is hosting a 2017 National Christian March on September 9th. That's right, it is time, Bride, for us to stand up and declare that this is a Christian nation. We are taking our country back from the enemy. We are marching across this land, blowing the shofars, sounding the alarm that the clarion call has been released from heaven and the bride is coming out. Come on, bride, put your boots on. Let's go. Find out more at www.megarevival.com. Come on, bride, it's time to march for Jesus. Let's prepare for war.
All right, bride, look, we do appreciate your prayers for tomorrow. We are going to be in Nashville at Cedar Hill Park from 11 to 1 in shelter number 3. That is the last revival on the north, south, east, and west. This represents the east. Come on now. And then we have the main march September 9th. We will see you then, bride. God bless you.